There's been disagreement in the state capitol over how much political opinion should guide what lawmakers do. Governor Tony Evers has urged the Republican-backed legislature to take up issues that polling shows have broad public support, things like Medicaid expansion and gun reforms like universal background checks. Republican leaders have resisted that, saying that decisions shouldn't be based on public opinion polls. Earlier this month, three Democrats introduced a resolution called the Wisconsin Direct Voice Amendment that would let citizens pursue legislation through statewide referendums. Gary Hebel is a Democrat representing the state's 46th Assembly District, which includes Sun Prairie. He's backing that resolution. Representative Hebel, thanks for joining us.
Glad to be with you.
Well, you and your colleagues, a couple Democratic colleagues, are backing an amendment to the state constitution that would give the public some legislative power, and you've got some other things that you've worked on. What kind of changes are you looking for here?
Well, what we have, Rob, is called Assembly Joint Resolution 32, and it has three elements to it. The first element of it deals with the citizens of Wisconsin. If they want to introduce legislation, they can do that by way of doing a ballot initiative if they have 6% of the folks that voted in the last gubernatorial election. In this case, that would be 157,163. So roughly 160,000 people sign a petition to have legislation go into effect that they believe is appropriate. If they do that, we have that many people sign, then it can go to the general population for a vote in the next general election. And if it has a majority passing that, then legislation that's proposed would become law. So that's one possibility. Now, there may be a situation where we want to do a constitutional amendment to change things. For instance, we may want to have a constitutional amendment that calls for independent redistricting so that it's not done by the majority party in the legislature, but it's actually done by an independent body based on independent lines. If we wanted to do a constitutional amendment, my bill would call for requiring 8% of the citizenry to sign a petition, which would be about 210,000 people, and they could sign that petition, and the same idea would occur. Now, with the constitutional amendment, that certainly has more authority and is much more difficult to overturn. So it requires more people to sign on to that petition. But again, it would require a majority of the population to, at the general election, vote in favor of independent redistricting as opposed to the gerrymandering that currently goes on.
Now, historically, I want to jump in. Historically, Wisconsin hasn't had these kind of voter referenda except to approve a constitutional amendment that was already passed by the legislature. Why now? Why do you want to make these changes now?
Well, I really think that our legislature, not only here in Wisconsin, but the Congress nationally, is just not responsive to the needs and requirements and the wishes of the people they represent. And I think we derive our power from the people, and the people should be the ultimate deciders of what legislation we pass, and we should take action that represents the interest of our constituency. That's not going on right now, either at the state or federal level. And unfortunately, we're doing very little in this legislative session to carry out the needs and wishes of our citizens. Whether you take expansion of Medicare is a perfect example of where we should be using those funds of federal dollars to supplement our state funding needs for health care. And we're not doing that at all. And the citizens of Wisconsin, that is over 70% of the people in Wisconsin want Medicaid expansion. Our legislature has just turned a deaf ear to it for several reasons. One is because of the gerrymandering. There's no contested races to speak of. Most of them have been relegated to the legislators picking who they want to vote for them, as opposed to the constituencies decided who their representative is. And that needs to change. And that's really the main function of this legislation, is give the power back to the people. Let them decide. If they can't elect their legislators, at least let them decide what legislation should be presented and approved by the citizens of Wisconsin, And I think that's a way around the current melee that we're having in the at state level.
As we wrap up, Republican leaders who have a majority in both chambers have not been warm to this kind of idea. Is this just kind of symbolic, given that it's probably not going to pass?
It's not surprising that we have no warmthness from the Republicans on this, because, frankly, power is intoxicating, and they have the power, and they've had the power. And you can see now that many of the decisions that they make are inaction rather than appropriate action for the benefit of our citizens. They don't want to lose that power. And unfortunately, my legislation would give the power back to the people. They don't like the sounds of that. But frankly, that's what a democracy is all about.
Representative Hebel, thanks for joining us today.
Hey, thanks, Rob. Have a nice Thanksgiving.
Representative Gary Hebel is a Democrat from Sun Prairie. He talked to us about proposals he's backing that would let the public pursue and pass state legislation through a referendum. Mordecai Lee joins us now, Professor Emeritus of Urban Planning at UW-Milwaukee and former Democratic state lawmaker. Mordecai, good to have you back with us.
Thanks for inviting me, Rob.
Well, let's start with the philosophical level, the idea that, okay, we should let the people decide directly on key issues, or no, they've delegated their power to lawmakers, let's leave it to them to do.
Well, this is an argument that's been going on for a good 250 years here in the United States. In the sense, if you go back and you read the Constitution, the Founding Fathers, this is odd to say, they did not believe in democracy. They believed in a republican form of government. In other words, they wanted to insulate the elected officials and the Electoral College from the public at large. And so that's why we saw that it was state legislatures who selected U.S. senators, why we had the Electoral College intervening between the voters and electing a president, things like that. So a Republican form of government doesn't necessarily mean democracy. Now, of course, we're dealing with Republican lowercase r and democracy lowercase d. I mean, going back to ancient Greece, their big intellectual breakthrough was you didn't need to have a king. You could have self-government by the people, or in those days by men, often, you know, the rich men or the property-owning men. And that through some mechanism, they would select the governors, and through some mechanism, they could reject the governors. And that's really where republicanism came from. It's only in the last sort of 100, 150 years in America that we've shifted from that old-fashioned republican form of government to direct democracy, going increasingly towards direct democracy. And so Representative Hebel is really sort of articulating going even farther in that direction.
Now, before we get to his referendum idea, I want to listen to a couple of competing views from a couple top figures in the state when it comes to how responsive politicians should be to polling. First, here's Governor Evers announcing a special legislative session to deal with gun reform.
We're going to start with the bills on which we can all agree. 80% of Wisconsinites support universal background checks and extreme risk protection orders, including those who are gun owners.
And then here's Assembly Speaker Robin Voss, Republican, speaking on Central Time earlier this month.
Well, you know, it's interesting. We don't govern by polls. I mean, they're an indicator, but the only poll that really matters is the one on Election Day.
So how closely, Mordecai, should state lawmakers be looking at polls as representative of what their constituents want and then vote accordingly?
Yeah, you know, this is sort of there's a range between having elected officials who aren't responsive at all to public opinion to abolishing elected officials. And there's a really good example of that, and that's Switzerland. Switzerland has a really weak executive branch. Almost everything goes to a national referendum. In fact, I think it was a couple of years ago, one of the referenda was on should they permit minarets in Switzerland. So everything is decided by the voters. And, you know, coming a little closer to home, California is famous for its propositions that so many major public policy issues are determined by the voters directly. And I guess I tend to be a bit on the conservative side, lowercase conservative, that I more believe in the delegate approach to government, the Republican approach to government. We elect people on a standard kind of schedule and timetable. If the voters don't like what they did, the voters can turn them out of office. In Wisconsin, we even have recalls where you can recall them even before there's the regularly scheduled election. I'm really not sure that having initiative and referendum, going the California or Switzerland route, is really good government.
But is it an argument to say, hey, state lawmaker, 80% of people support policy X, it therefore behooves you to pursue that policy without a formal referendum process.
Right. I mean, it's a good argument to use, but do we really want elected officials to be putting their sticking their fingers up in the air and checking which way the wind blows? What's the Bob Dylan line, you don't need a weatherman to know which way the wind blows? If that's what we want, and without being facetious at all, if that's what we want, we really should abolish the legislature and go in the Switzerland route. If we want people trying to cool the tempers of public opinion, then we want a more delegate form of government. I mean, I remember voting against public opinion in my district. It was back when I was in the state assembly, and the proposal was to increase the drinking age from 18 to 19, and everybody except 18-year-olds was in favor of it. And I voted against it, and, you know, I was like the only one who voted against it. Had there been an election the next day, I would have been wiped out. But by a year later, sort of public opinion had cooled. It wasn't the driving issue.
We're talking about the role of public opinion in our state government with Mordecai Lee, emeritus professor at UW-Milwaukee, former state lawmaker himself. We'll go to your calls now. Kevin is with us in Crandon. Kevin, hi.
Hello. Hey, how you doing? Yes. Oh, yes. Absolutely that they should be taking the people's voices into consideration quite a bit more than they do. And I also believe in, yeah, there should be referendum, absolutely, as a one case in particular, marijuana legalization. Medical marijuana, decriminalization, legalization. I'm tired of seeing Scott Fitzgerald constantly, when they ask him that, say, no, no.
Kevin, thanks a lot for the call. Mordecai, what do you think?
Well, Kevin's point of view is as correct as my point of view. In other words, there is no one single correct answer about this. This just really reflects one's view of the philosophy of government. And certainly people like Kevin about the issues that he's concerned about are frustrated by the legislature. But on the other hand, if the shoe were to be on the other foot, would they really be feeling the same way? I think it's interesting, and maybe this is just trivia, but Wisconsin does have a referendum process. It was enacted by the progressives back about 100 years ago, but it only applies to local levels of government. And so there can be initiative and referendum for, if I recall correctly, counties, municipalities, and maybe it's school boards. It's very rarely used, maybe that's an indication that it's not as sought after as currently based on a couple of very distinct issues.
Thanks for that call. Now, we heard some from Representative Hebel earlier saying the system is kind of broken when it comes to lawmakers' response to public opinion. He said because of gerrymandering, the way district lines are drawn, he says it can make a majority party less susceptible to public opinion. What do you think about that?
Well, there's no doubt that he's right factually. Certainly, I think we as citizens, I think the good government answer that I would support is nonpartisan redistricting commission. So that practically every assembly district and every Senate district, and for that matter, every congressional district, is as 50-50 as it can get. So there's no guarantee that a Republican would win, no guarantee that a Democrat would win. I think that would lead to moderate, responsive, open-minded legislators. But the question is, how much do you want to tinker with laws about referendum for that one single issue? I'd suggest, listening to Representative Hebel's discussion of the constitutional amendment that he's proposing, that maybe we would need a higher percentage to have a statewide vote. You remember when there was the recall against Governor Walker? It was much more than 150,000 or 210,000 signatures that were necessary for a gubernatorial recall. Maybe we should permit initiative and referendum, but only at these higher levels so that it's really the extraordinary situations.
Let's bring on another caller now. Kay is with us in Madison. Kay, hello.
Hello there.
What'd you want to bring up, Kay?
Well, it was actually just brought up. My point was that I believe because of gerrymandering, we have people in office who are not necessarily would be voted in if we got rid of, if we did some redistricting, and then those public opinion of polls wouldn't be as necessary. But until we get rid of gerrymandering, I believe the public opinion polls should be paid attention to.
Okay, thanks a lot for the call. So, Mordecai, there's a paradox. If a party comes into power, gerrymanders themselves in a way to stay in power. It's hard to do it forever, but it can make it very difficult to change those district lines if that party keeps staying in power. And this can happen with Democrats in some states and Republicans in others.
Absolutely. And the recent argument is that the power of computers to create these districts so that even if, let's say, 60% of Wisconsin voters in assembly elections voted Democratic, that the Republicans were still the majority in the assembly. I think that's a very compelling argument. But nonetheless, I think we have to be cautious about public opinion. And I'll tell you a piece of Wisconsin trivia. Right after the Civil War, there was a constitutional amendment in Wisconsin to give African Americans the right to vote. And it passed the legislature, the referendum went to the voters, and they rejected it. Now, when we look back on that, my God, right after the Civil War, the white voters of Wisconsin rejected voting rights for African Americans. We're appalled by that, but that's what public opinion was at the time. Public opinion isn't always right, either at that moment or historically.
Talking to Mordecai Lee, Emeritus Professor at UW-Milwaukee, former state lawmaker, looking at the role of public opinion in state government. Back to your calls now. Sierra is with us in Eland. Sierra, hello.
Hello.
What do you want to tell us about Sierra?
Definitely. I wanted to say that it's our representatives' job to respond to those polls by reaching out to their constituents specifically and giving us those avenues to respond directly on action items and things that we would like changed. So they should definitely be paying attention and using their seat to solicit feedback on those issues to know where they stand.
Sierra, thanks a lot for that call. That's interesting, Mordecai. Do we have mechanisms in place, enough mechanisms for lawmakers to genuinely have that kind of dialogue with their constituents?
Well, I think the distinction is between a self-selected audience that has a high interest in a certain issue versus the public at large. And as a legislator, I heard from lots of constituents on lots of issues. They usually were self-interested in something. They would benefit from something, or they were ideologically against something. Probably the classic issue that I think we should mention for phone callers like Kay or Sierra is the issue of abortion. Politicians generally have very strong feelings. They're either pro-life or pro-choice. They feel it very strongly, regardless of public opinion polls, regardless of voter preferences. And many of them are willing to sacrifice their careers if it came down to a referendum on that issue. But nonetheless, abortion is only one issue of thousands that legislators vote on. And so these referenda bring into pressure that single issue versus all the issues they vote on.
Thanks for that call, Sierra. Michael on Facebook writes, there's got to be a balance. The public doesn't always know all the details surrounding an issue, nor do they always know what's best. So that might be an argument for leaving more decision-making to the people who are closely involved, the lawmakers themselves.
Well, I've got to tell you, in confirming what Michael's impression was, in my freshman term in the state assembly, I used to, you know, read every bill that was going to come up for a vote. I used to read the committee record. You know, I of course, read the mail from constituents. I talked to my colleagues. It was a learning process. By the time I was in my second term in the state Senate, I had sort of mastered some of those issues and was more comfortable making faster decisions. And so what Michael is talking about is a sense of expertise that legislators develop over time.
Let's bring on another caller now. Bob is with us in Sparta. Bob, hello.
Hello. We can agree that people in cities have different wants and needs than people in rural areas. And so a statewide referendum or a poll-driven government would just knock us out of us people in the rural area, just knock us out. We just don't mean anything.
Bob, thanks for the call. That's an interesting point, Mordecai, that I hadn't thought about. Less populated areas might have unique needs that wouldn't be seen to by the majority of the more populated areas.
Well, that's a wonderful argument. I'm glad that Bob raised it. The counterpoint, of course, would be currently we as the voters vote on all constitutional amendments in a referendum. And so Bob's point about that rural residents of Wisconsin are a minority of the total residents of Wisconsin, in a sense, applies to every constitutional amendment we voted on in the last 20, 30, well, actually, the entire existence of the state of Wisconsin. And so at some point, majoritarianism, I think, dominates. The question is, in how many situations do we want majoritarianism, I can't even say it.
That's a hard word.
to always be the final decision maker.
Thanks for that call, Bob. And Mordecai, we'll leave it there for now. Thanks a lot for joining us again.
Thank you, Rob.
That's Mordecai Lee, emeritus professor at UW-Milwaukee, a former Democratic state lawmaker. He was with us to talk about how much public opinion does and doesn't matter in state government. We also heard from Assembly Representative Gary Hebel from Sun Prairie about a plan, a bill that would bring referenda into statewide politics. You can still let us know what you think over on the Ideas Network Facebook page.